Today we'll be talking about the four compromises. What kind of compromise? Like having Italian or Chinese food for dinner. Or who cooks and who cleans up dinner. Well, compromise is a broad term. So let's focus on the four compromises that led to the United States of America to a new constitution in 1789. After the American Revolution, the states realized the Articles of Confederation kind of sucked, and changes need to be made. The Articles of Confederation were written quickly, and during the time when people feared big governments. After all that happened with their king, who wouldn't be? States were making their own constitutions, law, and money. Money that couldn't be used in other states, for that matter. The states' governments were strong, but the national government was weak. This made the U.S. weak, and not very organized. If they had some type of central government, they could stand together when needed and be stronger. I mean, before the compromises, if a state didn't like a government law, they could just ignore it. That's not a good idea if you are one nation under God, right? So in 1787, 12 of the 13 states sent delegates to Philadelphia to come up with some changes that would be fair for all the states and strengthen the national government. The Constitutional Convention met from May to September 1787. During this time, they came up with a bunch of compromises, but I'm only going to talk about four major compromises. And guess who led the convention? If you said George Washington, you're correct! Okay, so our first issue is how will the states and the people be represented in a new government? The Great Compromise, or the Connecticut Compromise, addressed how states would be represented in a new government. There will be two proposals for this. The Virginia Plan, which said representation should be based on the population of each state. This was so every person had a say in government. Versus the New Jersey Plan, which wanted equal representation for each state. This was to protect the smaller states with smaller populations. So how did they compromise? There would be two chambers of Congress, the House of Representatives, which is based on population, and the Senate, which is based on equal representation of each state. The Senate has two members from each state. The House have different members based on the state's population. The House has one rep for every 30,000 people. Voting stays the same, though. Both sides must have 51% of a vote for an issue to pass. A senator serves a 6-year term and has to be reelected, but a House rep serves a 2-year term and has to be reelected. Our second issue is, should slaves count towards a state's population? 3/5 compromise. Once it was decided that representation in the House of Representatives was going to be based on population, the North and the South states thought of something. How would the slaves be counted? The South states wanted slaves to count. They had more slaves, so having more would give them more representatives in the House, which would give them more voting power. The North states did not want slaves to count, since they did not rely on slaves as much as the South. They had them, but not as many. If all slaves counted, the South would have a huge advantage over the North states. So the compromise was a slave could count as 3/5 of a person. Every 5 slaves would be counted as 3 individuals. In terms of representation, they also agreed to end the international slave trade in 20 years, Little did everyone know at that time that would ultimately lead to the end of slavery. It's kind of interesting that the South didn't treat slaves as people, but wanted them to vote. Slaves were property. When it came to having more power, the South states changed their minds on that pretty quickly. But when the North said slaves could count for a full vote if you set them free, the South said, "No way!" Our third issue is, how can we guarantee that this new strong government will not overstep its boundaries and infringe upon the rights of the people? The Federalists believed a strong central government was both necessary and potent. The Constitution provides for all three branches of the government and a system of checks and balances. There is no need for any more rules or protection. How can one possibly list all of the rights of the people will have? Something will be forgotten, like when you go on vacation and forgot to pack your swimsuit. Delegates like Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, and George Washington all agreed that a stronger government was needed. Earlier, I said only 12 states went to the convention, when there were 13 at the time. Rhode Island boycotted the convention because of this. They felt the Constitution had too much power anyway, so they didn't participate. On the other side, Anti-Federalists said the new Constitution needed a list of rights granted to its citizens. They feared a government with too much power would be like having their old king around again. Remember, the Boston Massacre, the Stamp Act, or the Tea Act. By adding these protections, it would ensure the government had clear boundaries on what it could and couldn't do. This would prevent any tyrannical government with too much power. So the great Thomas Jefferson came up with the Bill of Rights, a list of freedoms guaranteed to all Americans. Rights that can never be taken away. There were 10 rights that were added as amendments to the Constitution in 1789.
Yay!
The fourth and final issue is, where should the new nation's government be located? After all the details of the Constitution were laid out, the government had to find a place to call home. The North and the South were divided again on the best place to put the capital, so no one could agree. Someone proposed moving the capital every 10 years to keep things fair. But that sounded crazy, even to me, and I'm just a 14-year-old kid. Alexander Hamilton proposed the capital be in New York, his home state, while Jefferson and Madison wanted it to be on the Potomac River in the South. The worry thought was, if the capital was in the North, the government would favor Northern ways, and if it was in the South, it would favor Southern ways and promote slavery. Which is kind of weird, because if the government is set up with a House of Representatives and a Senate, doesn't it make it fair representation? Why should it matter if the capital is in the North or the South anyway? They couldn't agree on a place no matter what. Also during this time, the subject of war debt came up with Alexander Hamilton. He wanted the federal government to assume all debt ensured the Revolutionary War, creating a national debt. The South was very against this because they had paid back all their debt, and the North should do the same. Why should they have to pay back the North's debt? So where do you put the capital? In the North or in the South? And who pays the debt? The compromise was this. The capital would be in the South, but on neutral territory. Maryland and Virginia donated land that was named the District of Columbia. Not a state, just a place for a capital. And the debt incurred during the war would be repaid by the new nation. So the South got the capital. By the new government. The capital was in Philadelphia, while Washington, D.C. was being constructed. It sounds like it took a while, because John Adams was the first president to live in the White House, and he only lived there a few days before his presidency ended. And he was the second president of the United States. George Washington, our first president, never lived in Washington, D.C., and it was named after him. So there you have it. Life is about compromise. I asked my mom what compromise means to her, and she said, coming up with a solution that makes everyone almost happy, because sometimes you can't make everyone happy. I asked my dad what compromise meant to him, and he said, doing anything that makes your mother happy. Huh. Anyway, I'm glad the founders of our country were able to come up with some ways to make us live happier or almost happier ever after. I hope you enjoyed this podcast today. Stay tuned for my next podcast. Bye!